Unexpected.
Unpredictable.
Inspiring.
Fringe is universal.
Fringe is daring.
Wackadoodle.
Wild.
Really amazing.
Awesome.
Bear.
Camp.
Terrific chaos.
Hey, everybody. You're listening to the Minnesota Fringe Cast. I'm Rebecca Smith.
And I'm Brian Harmon.
And this is an inside look into the Minnesota Fringe Festival. So, Brian, the Fringe Festival is over. Did you have fun?
I had a lovely time.
How many shows did you see?
I saw 43.
So tell me this. What was your favorite thing about the festival this year?
Well, it's just amazing to be able to see a whole lot of things at once. And the overall quality of things was quite good. And so I really loved just sort of that smorgasbord of stimulation and ideas and expression all at once.
So let's take the show Titus Sweetwater Silent Walks. I loved that show. I will never forget the pie that these dancers created that had two men, so this comes from the play, had two men baked inside this pie. That, I will never forget that image. And I love that about the shows when I can think of an image that just sticks with me.
The imaging and the movement in Titus was wonderful, but there was exposition early on in the piece that for me didn't work quite as well. We saw some other pieces that tried some other things to try to handle some of that exposition very well. We saw one called Cyrano and the Moon, where they took like 5 minutes to non-verbally tell the Cyrano story in a way that was really, really lovely.
And we saw that also in a different, very different way, but Wales also did that. We got the whole story of Moby Dick in shadow puppetry.
Well, yes, they were able to tell a lot of the story without a lot of exposition. They were able to do it in images and music and things where we could pick up where the things would roll. Now, with Titus Andronicus, that's difficult to do just because of the nature of that play. But it was really exciting to see people use unique ways, use images, use nonverbal performance to be able to work their way through the exposition part so you could really focus on the things that were really cool about the production.
So are you going to miss the Fringe? Are you going through withdrawal at all?
A little. It's just really a nice experience. It's a nice way to spend 11 days in the middle of the summer. So yeah, I guess probably I will miss it a little.
The weirdest part about Fringe is that the day after it's over, it's like it never happened almost. You're like, oh, that was just 2 weeks of my life that were insane. And now it's just done. It's like any show, but it's more extreme for some reason. When I was a kid, it was like really sad. I'd get really, really sad when it was done. But now I like do theater all the time, so I see, and I get to see the people. I have a car and like a life of my own that's not glued to my parents. So I get to see all the people. But when I was a kid, I wouldn't see people for like a whole year until Fringe happened again. And it was like, this is the worst, and I have to go back to school in 2 weeks, and everything's horrible. I get sad now. Sometimes. Depends on the show. Somewhere super magical. Yeah. It's always fun, though.
Well, take heart. The Minnesota Fringe is making an effort to have a year-round presence.
This new plan where we are engaging our audiences and our actors throughout the year, I think is really amazing.
Our super talented staff will keep coming up with ways to have more programming throughout the year, to find ways to promote our artists, Fringe artists, and do more in the community and in more parts of the city and other cities.
So one story that I had last year is where this gentleman was telling me about how he loves Fringe and he just came every single year, and there was one particular artist that he just thought was just amazing and that he definitely sees everything this person does. He's in the show at least in someone else's Fringe show or producing his own work every year, and he just never misses him. And I knew who he was talking about because I had met that artist before, and he happened to be standing no more than 4 feet away from that artist, and we were at Fringe Central, and I thought, this is your opportunity. And I said, yeah, there he is. He's right over there. And in true Minnesota fashion, he just kind of looked at him and went, yeah. And then didn't say anything. Didn't. And I thought, I know this artist. I've met him. He's really nice. I think he would be flattered if you just introduced yourself and said, I really like and admire your work. So I would like to see more opportunities for people to have an interaction with each other that is more than once a year, so that it wouldn't feel awkward to just go up and say, I really admire what you're doing, because I think it would feel good as an artist to hear that. And maybe that would give the artist the opportunity to say, I'm really glad that you keep coming, because I'm trying some new things here, and it means a lot that people keep showing up when I keep using this laboratory to experiment, you know? So I think that's one of the reasons why I'm going to do more year-round programming, but anchor some of that around the festival. You know, that is our flagship program, and that's very meaningful to the community. It's just an expansion of the mission.
We saw a couple of versions of Drafts and Drafts in the winter/springtime. This is an event where artists get to bring a work in progress in front of an audience to try out some things. And as an audience member, that's a lot of fun to see something in development. Also very useful for the artist to get feedback.
My name is Sam Landman, and my show is Welcome to Musicland. I felt very good about how it went and how people responded to it. I had written another show called Lilac Drive, which was a storytelling show for Strike Theater, and I felt like I kind of needed to get more of those out of me. I kind of write in something that I call like topographical storytelling, where you just envision the space. It's part of me, obviously. It's very personal, but I have to kind of get people in a space and get them used to, here's where we are. I don't want to break any of the rules of like what I've just described, so some of the stories that come from it are part of this map that I'm drawing out. They said 10 to 20 minutes, so I felt like, let me just kind of give the greatest hits. Managers and weird stuff, shoplifters, but there are definitely things that I would like to touch on that include other employees that could easily be sort of blown out a little bit more. There were a lot of sort of ins and outs of not only retail that people can appreciate, but I think certain people that only would work well in retail in a record store setting, they might not work well in any other retail setting other than something geeky. The same way that people who work at a GameStop might be great in a video game, you know, setting, but take them outside of that and put them in retail, like selling a shirt or something at whatever, Old Navy, no way. They would be sort of shut down. So yeah, a lot of it was very personal. I think that maybe there's a way to figure out like how to keep the personal while also making it a little bit more relatable. I'm really looking forward to the notes that people are giving, and hopefully take those into account and go, all right, well, maybe I need to clear this up a little bit more. I'm just so happy that I was able to even do a draft of it here, because it's just a fascinating way to be like, all right, well, this is people reacting a certain way that I didn't expect them to react, you know? It's really one of the first like three storytelling shows I've written, and the more I see other storytellers in town, like Mike Fotis and a lot of people involved with Strike Theater, I'm able to sort of steal some stuff from like people who are really, really good at it and sort of incorporate my own stuff. But I think in terms of what I'm kind of gunning for and hoping to sort of branch out into is something that's not, again, I'm trying to get into that sort of topographical, here's the map of where I am, come with me on this thing. I'm hoping that that becomes something that I can maybe do in a more practical setting, where I'm taking people through something. It's kind of like a bring your own venue for Fringe. That's kind of my hope. I really enjoy the idea of, again, laying that sort of that blueprint out there and making sure people can see everything perfectly before I get into those characters. That's kind of my next sort of venture. I hope to kind of expand this. I have a couple of ideas that might work into future stuff. I spotted Hunter in the
store a couple of times after his arrest, and one time he actually said he was scared straight by the event.
Well, I did work at a college radio station around the same time that fed my sort of indie side, and then when I went to work, I felt like a huge poser because I also had to wear slacks and, like, this button-down shirt, and I felt like even the stuff that is sort of borderline cool at Musicland is still not really cool in the real world, which is really... I think at the time I was glad to be around music, and every once in a while I'd put in something like, "Hey, let's listen to this while we're closing, while I'm vacuuming and you're counting down all the drawers." So we'd bring in some cool stuff. Butthole Surfers was a one that a friend of mine was a huge Dead fan, and I hated the Grateful Dead, but he had like bootlegs and stuff. He'd bring them in and he'd just play them during the store when the managers weren't there, and people were like, "Hey, what is this album?" It's like, "Yeah, we don't carry that." Musicland was kind of the uncool dad telling you that, "Oh, this is some really rocking stuff, this new Phil Collins." It's like, I love selling kids stuff like Vanilla Ice or whatever at the time, but I'm like, when they'd come in and ask for like some Ghetto Boys, or they'd ask for like Too Short, I'd be like, "First of all, I need to see your ID, but this is a really good album." I felt like I had no power at all. And I knew people who were like corporate managers at other stores who were like part of, I don't know, they ran like 10 stores or whatever. It never occurred to me to be like, "You know, you guys should, you should bring in some Dead Kennedys." Like, Dead Kennedys you could get at Camelot Music right above us. You could not get anything from Alternative Tentacles. You couldn't get any kind of punk stuff at all at Musicland. It never really occurred to me to be like, and maybe it's because I was younger and I felt like, well, nobody's going to listen to a 19-year-old. But I had a missed opportunity there. Like, I got a friend of mine who does, he buys, like, comics for a certain chain down south. And that dude, like, that's a dream job. He goes to conventions. He, you know, talks up artists and writers. I'm like, oh, my God, if I had been that guy for, like, Musicland, or I even had the balls to be like, "Hey, look, this Fugazi album, it's amazing."
My name is Noah Sony, and I'm a magician and a mentalist, which is kind of a weird combination. So it was funny. Some of the stuff I did tonight was the first time I've done it for an audience, and it's always a really nervous feeling because you go out there and you're kind of like, well, it might work, but what if they just don't like it? Or what if it doesn't make sense? So at first I was nervous, but then as things kind of get rolling, you start to realize, like, okay, things are making sense. Things are making sense. And that kind of puts you in a little safe motion of progress. I can luckily say that everything tonight went as planned, which is a really good feeling because you walk off stage and you're just like, yes, you feel like the weight of the world just kind of lift off your shoulders, which is a really nice feeling. So tonight was, I would say, a real success. I was really happy with it, and I'm excited just to share it with more people. So when I was in high school, I don't want to say an awkward kid, but it's always weird to kind of connect with people when you're in high school and you still don't always know who you are. So one day I was at a concert at the Mall of America, and I ended up in a magic shop that had a little sign that said "free magic show." And me and my friends, being, you know, high school kids, we were like, "We want to see a free magic show. We're going to see what this is like." And it was actually my real first time experiencing magic in person up close, and I realized that it was the coolest thing ever. I was like, this is insane. Like, I was seeing things right in front of my eyes that I never thought were possible. And I realized that was kind of this change in perspective where you're like, suddenly things that you didn't think were even like you couldn't even dream of were happening. And if I could create that experience, why wouldn't I want to do that? So instantly I just kind of ditched all of my schoolwork and I started practicing magic every single day. And then it turned into doing mentalism as well, which is kind of magic that's focused more around the thoughts that people have. So mentalism basically combines elements of magic and mind reading and psychology to create a really unique experience that involves the people. And I really always say, I don't read minds, I read people. And so you've noticed maybe during the show that there were little reactions that you were able to pick up on when someone's eyes would twitch a little bit to the left. And it's noticing those things and combining that with elements of presentation and just creating an experience that's really unique and unexplainable. It's really something that you have to kind of see in person and experience to understand. I worked my way entirely through college doing magic. So it was a really intense thing at the time to be like, I'm not going to get a real job as soon as I graduate. I'm just going to go try to do card tricks for a living. But so far, it's been working. My job is just to make people smile. I get to walk in a room and be like, hey, do you want to see something amazing? And it's kind of a crazy thing to be able to do, but I'm lucky enough to be able to do it. So the first thing I had to do was learn how to be a magician. So I took lessons with a guy in Minnesota named Tyler Erickson, who runs a little school called Stronger Magic. And he basically teaches young magicians how to be magicians, how the business side of it works and everything like that. So once I started learning the business side of it, I got an agent. And the agent's name is G.L. Berg. And so I work with them right now, and they're booking me a fair amount of shows. And then on top of that, before I found them. It was kind of all me sending emails and just meeting people and being trying to be personable and say, here's my card. If you ever need a magician, give me a call. And that was a big part of it. It's a lot of just kind of meeting people and handing out and showing what you do. Yeah. So right now, most of my work is corporate work and private events, but I'm trying to move more towards colleges when they have welcome weeks and things like that, because I love the idea of a bunch of new students who don't know each other kind of coming into a room and seeing a show that they don't know what's going to happen, but it's a good icebreaker to be able, like, did you see the magician, the mentalist that was here? That was crazy. It's a good way to start a conversation. So that's the market I'm trying to get into, but right now it's a lot of corporate work and private events. And then cruise ships is a whole different area. I would love to do cruise ships. Right now I have a really good friend by the name of Nick DeFott, who's an amazing performer. He does cruise ships a lot right now, and he loves it to an extent, and it's just it's amazing. And like, the amount of places that you can go with magic and mentalism is crazy. I went to school for parks and recreation. That was my major, and my emphasis was leisure planning and management, which really kind of tied in a lot with being able to develop an event. And so that was what helped me a lot in the corporate market and things like that, because I was able to understand how an event planner finds entertainment, how they book entertainment, and what they're kind of process is to find a performer for an evening. So I was able to kind of be like, okay, I know where you're going to find these performers. I know how you're going to book them. Maybe I can just kind of get my information to those venues right away. And so that helped me a lot when I was trying to book my own stuff. So my major really did help with where I am now. I found a lot of performers outside of magic that I looked up to, and those were my inspiration going into this. I found musicians. I love hip-hop music and rap music, and I found a lot of inspiration in that, and I watched these shows by these guys like Brockhampton or Childish Gambino, and I said, what makes them so fun on stage, and how can I put that in a magic or a mentalism show? And that was huge for me. And the other thing, a guy named Donald Glover, also Childish Gambino, just played Lando in the new Star Wars movie, and he was on Ellen, and he was like, I met with the guy who originally played Lando in the original Star Wars movies, and I came in with all of these ideas, and I was so excited to share them, and I went off on this list, and after about half an hour, he just looked at me and said, oh, those are some good ideas, but I don't know, just be charming. And that phrase stuck in my head, where he said, just be charming. And that was kind of the point where I was like, I get it. Like, it makes sense. I watch a lot of stand-up comedy, and so I love being able to just make people laugh, because you kind of know instantly that they're having fun. You can see the smile on their face, and you're like, okay, something's at least going right now, you know. Neil Brennan, he has a special on Netflix called Three Mics, and that is one that I've watched numerous times and just kind of learned little aspects, because it not only goes through comedy, but he brings in a lot of emotional aspects about his life and talks about who he is as a person. And I watch that probably twice a month. Yeah. I have done open mic nights in the past doing just stand-up, and it's such an interesting feel to not have magic as a thing to go with it, or to try to do magic without comedy. They're kind of weird things, because for me they just go hand in hand from how I perform and how I like to entertain people. But I've always kind of had the dream of being able to do just straight up stand-up, and I think in the future, as time goes on, it's something I would like to do more of.
And now here's something for your calendar. Brian, what do you have?
My name is Rick Osland with Sparkle Theatricals, and we presented at the Fringe Festival a couple times. We had a show called Parent Observation Day we did a couple years ago, and also A Pie, A Duck, and a Shoe was another one that we also presented. Sparkle Theatricals is a Minneapolis-based theater company, and we've been known for doing things that are presented in non-traditional spaces, and also, you know, sometimes we've done things in theaters as well, but the show that we're working on for Halloween, and it'll be our fifth annual Halloween event this year. The tentative title is called Heist, and it's going to be based on a jewel heist, and it also involves puzzles and magic, theatrical magic.
A mix of comedy where you'll still laugh, but you'll also have moments where it's kind of suspenseful and intense, and you get to have those moments where you feel like, ooh, what's about to happen next? So that's our main goal for that, comedy and suspense.
Seeing all these other events going on, and it feels like there are a lot of costume contests at bars and really gory kinds of things that people come up with, but we wanted to come up with something that was a little more mysterious, or something that makes you think and doesn't necessarily gross you out. It started as a murder mystery party in our apartment the first year, and we invited 12 of our closest friends, and we wrote characters for each person before they came to the party, sent that to them in the mail, and then they all chose their outfits based on their characters that we sent them, and they put a lot of creativity into that, and then showed up, and we had this amazing night, and it was a lot of fun. And then The next year it turned in, we did a masquerade and we had more people at that one. You showed up with a mask on, but you were then brought into this room with people that you didn't show up at the party with. And then people took off their masks and they had this magic show happen. So then the following year we produced it out at Four Paws Mansion. It was an event that was based on the life of Harry Houdini. Then we wanted to do something different each year. So we've been seeing Noah performing around town at all these different venues, and he's very involved with Sunday Night Magic. That happens at the Theater in the Round, usually one Sunday out of every month. It'll be coming back, what is it, in September it comes back? And Noah's always there poking his head around.
Right now I am currently gearing up for a show I wrote for the Twin Cities Horror Festival that I actually wrote a few years ago called Dream County. So that'll be part of their programming in October, late October, early November run. So I'm kind of getting all the script's been done for a few years, but I'm getting all the sort of wheels in motion, hopefully working on some casting soon. I really got to get my production hat on because I'm not really good at that. I'm good at like one guy doing stuff. But if anybody wants to work on a horror festival show called Dream County, please get in touch with Sam Landman. But yeah, that's the next thing on my sort of agenda. A lot of work and rehearsal and all that kind of stuff. So that's the next thing. End of October, right before Halloween, into early November at the Southern Theater. You can buy a pass called a Skeleton Key, and you can get all the Twin Cities Horror Festival shows. Dream County is just one of those. They're only an hour. It's kind of like The Fringe, but it's all horror-based. It's all fun, scary stuff right there at the Southern. And you buy a pass, and you can see a different show every night.
So even though Fringe is over and we're all a little bit sad about that, it still really does go on, doesn't it?
Yes, and a lot of the people that you loved in the Fringe are out there and finding new ways to make things happen. So look for them and find them and enjoy them.
As we say goodbye to this year's Fringe season, we're also saying goodbye to...
I'm David Frank, and I am the board president of the Minnesota Fringe Festival. I got started on the board of the Fringe Festival the way that I think many of the board members that I've worked with have gotten started, which is a personal connection to either the executive director or to another board member. And so someone I know reached out and said, would you be willing to have lunch and hear about something that I think you might be interested in? And I thought, that sounds really good. Lunch with someone I like, lunch to hear about something that I might care about. Sure, sign me up. So we went out for some Japanese food. This was 6+ years ago. And I heard the story of this super interesting arts organization that does some crazy stuff and gives artists a chance to put their work out there and gives audiences a chance to see some interesting stuff. And I thought, that sounds great. I don't know what I'm signing on for, but maybe that's okay. It's not like anything else I do. How could I not? It's not that the job is cut and dry. It's about the Fringe Festival is a platform, a place, and an event for, as we say, adventurous artists and adventurous audiences to find each other. And we do the matchmaking, I guess you could say. And work can be like that too. But we have great conversations, policy conversations, generative question conversations at board meetings, and you see some sort of blow your mind kinds of pieces when you go to a Fringe performance. Maybe it's a walk down the street and listen to people sing songs and tell you a story while you're walking around outside, and maybe you're in a theater with other people who can't quite believe what they're seeing or don't know what they're seeing or understand what they're seeing. And that's well beyond what goes on at my job during the day. So it's I wouldn't say looser, but I would say it's the adventure. At the Fringe, we have terms, board terms, of 2 years. And you can be elected to 3 board terms for a total of 6 years. And that's where I am. I'm coming up on the end of my time on the board, the end of my 6th year on the board. And after this festival, my term is over. I think it's in October. And then I will put it in the good hands of our great volunteers who are on the board now and our new board members and say, I'm looking forward to coming to see what you do next year. It is a freeing moment when you think, I don't have those meetings next month. What will I do at that time? Will I read or make something or ride my bike or work more? It's also a little sad, right? This is, as you say, something I've worked on a lot and that I care about a lot. And yeah, so it is both a fun little moment and also a little bit of a sad moment.
Wild.
Really amazing. Fringe is opportunity.
Thanks to everyone who contributed to this episode, and we look forward to more adventures soon.
If you want more Fringe in your life, subscribe to the newsletter. Go to minnesotafringe.org. Take care.